Until the visitors, feel free to come as much and often as you guys want. Okay, so we're talking about an interesting sugya here. The Gemara in Megillah Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph has this idea that Trei Kali, that two sounds cannot be heard, Trei Gavri from two different people. And the Gemara says, based on the Braisa of the Torah, Echad Kari Ve'echad Mitargim, one person should read and one person should Mitargim. Translate, Ubavachlo, Yushnaim Korim Yushnaim Targumim. And two people should not be reading at the same time, two people should not saying Targum at the same time. And the exceptions are something like Halal and Megillah, that even if 10 people are Filas or Korim, you're able to hear the individual voices because it's Chavin, it's a Chaviv to a person, he's going to make sure to pay attention to the story of Megillah, he's going to pay attention to Halal. But with respect to the general halacha, we assume that two voices, two sounds cannot be heard at the same time. So the Tosfos Rosh here in the Gemara, and to elaborate in the Rosh Maseches Megillah, talks about how our current practice of a Baal Koreh and the Baal Aliyah, they both go up there. Mashinogin, Achshav Likro B'Torah, Shnaim, two people get an Aliyah, one guy reads and one guy gets Aliyah. How is it possible that two people get up there? It's a violation of this halacha that Trei Kali Lo Mishai, you can't hear two people speaking at the same time. So he first suggests, well, maybe it's a Malkum Shievshar, it's a situation where it's impossible, because the Gemara and Bikurim, the Mishnah Bikurim, those who don't know, I'll just fill in some of the background, some of you are asking about it. There's a din, what's called Mikra Bikurim, the beginning of Parshas Kisavo, talks about something called Maisa Sheni and something called Bikurim, just by way of background. Maisa Sheni, so if a farmer has produce for the year, so you have to take Chuma, you give Chuma to a Kohen. Midiraisa, you have to give Degancha, Degancha, Tiroshcha, Vitzarcha. Degancha is the five grains, Tiroshcha is grapes, Vitzarcha is oil, olive oil. So Midiraisa, you have to give of those three produce, and the din is sharp pears as well, other fruit, other produce you have to give Truman Meiser. Machlok is whether other fruits are Chai Midiraisa, Chai Midirabanan. But whatever the status is, whatever the level is, you have to give your produce, you have to separate Chumas and Meiser. So Chuma goes to the Kohen. How much is given to the Kohen? 1/50th is the ideal, 1/40th is a little bit more giving, 1/60th is a little bit more stingy, but there's no real shear of chuma, but you have to give something to the coin. Then you have to give Maaser Rishon, Maaser Rishon goes to the Levi. Levi gets Maaser Rishon, that's a tenth, so if I've got 100 grapes, so I give two grapes to the coin, that's 1/50th. I've got 98 left, so I give Berech 9, 10 grapes I give to the Levi, Maaser Rishon. And what's remaining, around 90, I give another Maaser, it's Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni I take as the farmer, I bring it to Yerushalayim and eat within the walls of Yerushalayim. So there the Gemara, the Pasuk says in Kisavo that Maaser Sheni, there's something called Vidui Maaser. You have to make a testimony, a confession of Vidui Maaser when you bring Maaser Sheni. And right next to the same Parsha Kisavo, it says Bikurim, you also have to make some type of statement of the called Mikra Bikurim. There's a whole statement of Psukim you read. So this Mikra Bikurim, the farmers, were oftentimes Am Ha'aretz. They didn't know, they were ignorant, they didn't know how to learn, they didn't know how to read. So part of the process of bringing Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Kohanim, it's a gift given to the Kohanim, it's one of the 24 Matnos Kahuna, you have to say this to the Psukim, Mikra Bikurim. But they didn't know how to read, so now they stopped bringing Bikurim. They were embarrassed, they didn't know how to read, so they would stop bringing Bikurim. The Bikurim, by the way, just again, some background, anyone know which fruit are subject to Bikurim? Shivas Aminim. The Shivas Aminim are subject to Bikurim, which means the first fruit of that season of Chita, Sora, and so on, are Chayav Bikurim. So you collect those fruit, you bring it to the Kohen in Yerushalayim, and you say Mikra Bikurim. The guys who didn't know how to say it, they got embarrassed, so they stopped coming. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, so now they would, the Mishnah says, so therefore they instituted that you could call it for them. Makanis Mishi Yodeve, Mishi Yodeve. So there's an Indian of that reading for someone who doesn't know how to read. So based on this, the Rosh says, nowadays most of us can't get up there and just read from the Sefer Torah. So you're the Baal Koreh who prepares. So we get an Aliyah. So we're helped out, just like by the Bikurim, they helped out the farmers. So we're the Am Ha'aretz now. We don't know how to read the Torah. So the Baal Koreh who knows how to read, reads for us. But the Tosfos Rosh says that's only as long as the Baal Koreh has to say something. The Ola, the one getting the Aliyah, must say something. He says he has to read Benachas, softly, gently, because if he doesn't read Benachas, it's going to be a bracha vatala. How could you say, Asher bracha banu, say a bracha, and not say words, and not learn? So says the Rush, it has to be where you say it quietly, but not out loud. You can't say it out loud, because that's trei kali lo mishtai. If I'm loud and the Baal Kori is loud, so you don't know how to distinguish the sounds, the voices, you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah of the Limud HaTorah here in Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. So the Baal Kori is very loud, and the Ola says it quietly. But he says it quietly so that he doesn't interrupt anyone else, but he says it where it's audible for himself so he could hear it. Otherwise, saying a bracha without learning, without reading, would be a bracha latel. That's the Rush. So, Baruch Hashem, you're Sfardi, and you could even ask that question. Because for you, Limud HaTorah is a chaviv to you. Unfortunately, us, a couple of Sfardim here, have such a kavod HaTorah, kavod Rabbanim, kavod everything. Ashkenazim, I'm an Ashkenazi, but we don't have such kavod for things, so it's not so chaviv to us, unfortunately. So, the real reason is, though, because Megillah comes once a year, Hallel comes a few times a year, so it's chaviv, it's infrequent, or perhaps it's times of simcha. We say Hallel on Yontif, we say Megillah, of course, in Purim. The Kriyas HaTorah, we say Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, afternoon. It's too often, it doesn't become chaviv to us. So we're just, unfortunately, it's not chaviv, but it should be.
So what about Hallel at the end of Yontif? So it's already not chaviv anymore?
No, but every day of, firstly, much of this Hallel, only Hallel Shalem or Chati Hallel, but either way, even within Hallel, of 8 days of Hallel, or 9 days in Chutz Lartz, or 7 or 8 days in Pesach, even though it might be a little boring for us, it's still more exciting. Overall, we only say Hallel 18 times of the year in Eretz Yisrael and 21 times in Chutz Lartz. So that's still less frequent. We say Kriyas HaTorah, we read 4 times a week. Times 50, we're talking about 200 times, so it's pretty frequent. As opposed to Hallel, that's not. So we say 18 times we say Hallel only. Just as interesting story, because you guys like stories, and I like to share stories sometimes. So when I was in YU, I got into the Kol Elyon. Kol Elyon is a Kol after Smicha. You have to take off a heret with Rav Schechter, Rav Rosenzweig, Rav Willig. So my year when I applied, everyone always talks about what questions Rav Schechter asks you, because they're always so fascinating there. Sometimes they're really hard, sometimes they're really simple, and you just don't know the answer. So one guy was asked the following question. He says, how many times or when do we say Hallel during the year? So he knew the number 18. He knew the 18 times of the year. So he started going through. He says, well, we say it, Pesach, we say, full Hallel, that is. So full Hallel once in Pesach. And then Sukkot is 8 times, so that's 9. And then another 8 times Chanukah, so that's 17. And then he's thinking, 17, okay, we got Pesach, we got Sukkot, we got Chanukah. He thought it was a trick question. He's like, oh, Yom Ha'atzma'ut. And he was serious. And Rav Schechter said, no, Shavuos. Shavuos is the 18th time. So the guy did not get into the Kol Elyon, but he shared the story. It was pretty funny nonetheless. So those are the 18 times. And you add 2 for each, Pesach, there's 2 for Chutz La'aretz, and then Shavuos is 2 in Chutz La'aretz, and there are 9 on Sukkot. That gives you the 21 count for Hallel and Chutz La'aretz. Either way, Hallel and Megillah, those are Chaviv, and unfortunately, Kriyas HaTorah is not Chaviv to us, so therefore we won't pay attention if there are 2 voices, so you only read it quietly. So the Emek Bracha, which I assume you got a chance to see, asks a very, very important question. He says, I don't understand. Why does anyone have to read anything? We have a concept, Shomei Ka'ona. If I say the bracha, I get the aliyah, and the chazan, the Baal Kori is reading, I'm shomei the Baal Kori, it's shomei ka'one. It's as if I'm saying the words. So it's not a bracha latala. I'm saying bracha, and I'm saying the words of Torah by hearing him, shomei, it's ka'one. Like I'm answering, like I'm speaking, like I'm reading the Torah. Why is that a bracha latala in the eyes of the Rush? So the Emek Bracha refers to a very interesting machlokis rishonim. This chakir, which I hope you got to appreciate, and I'm going to elaborate in many more examples. Whether we say Shomei Ka'ona, is it Ka'ona Mamish the way they say it? When I hear the words, is it Mamish as if I'm saying the words? Or I'm just Yotze. I hear the words, I'm Yotze hearing Megillah, I'm Yotze hearing whatever I'm hearing, but it's not Ke'ilam actually saying the words. So I'll give you an example. You saw an example, I'll just give more examples to kind of flesh this out a little bit more. There's a din brought down in Shulchan Aruch by Hilchos Shechita that an Arum, a person who is naked, cannot shecht. Why? What's wrong with shechting? Because he can't say the bracha. Because the person's not dressed properly, you can't say a bracha. So since you can't say a bracha, you shouldn't shecht. Because how do you shecht without a bracha first? We We don't, even though brachas are derabanan, we always want there to be a bracha anyways. So the Prisha asks a question by a cheresh, a person who's cheresh, who's shemev einu medaber, which is a different type of cheresh, he's more of an ilim, he could hear but he can't speak. So he's allowed to do shechita l'chachila. What about the bracha? So someone else has a bracha for him. Someone else has the bracha, because he's able to hear, he just can't say it, so someone says the bracha, and then he's shech. So ask the Prisha, why can't he have the same thing? The Arum, let some other guy say bracha for him, and he'll do the shechita. He doesn't have to say the bracha, someone else will say it. So the answer is, because when you're shemeya, it's ka'one. When you hear the bracha, it's like you are saying the bracha. So for the cheresh, so he or the ilim, so he hears the bracha, it's as if he's saying the bracha, and then great, he could shecht. But when an arum, a person who's naked, hears the bracha, it's ka'ona, it's like he's saying a bracha when he's not dressed properly. That's an iser to say a bracha when you're not dressed properly. So that's what it means, ona mamish. So a number of different examples here of shomer ka'ona. There's a din brought down in Shulchan Aruch based on the Gemara when it comes to Sfiras Omer. Gemara Menachos says by Sfiras Omer, Usfartim lachem shetei svir l'cholechad ve'echad. Everyone has to count. So there's a personal requirement for each person to count svir. So the Magen Avraham in Simen Tav Pei Tes, he raises the following suffix. Can you be yotze shomek ona with svir's omer? Could I stand and just hear you say Baruch Ata Hashem and so on? Hayom yom echad ba'omer. Would be yotze by listening. So he says some say yes, some say not. So what's the machlokas? So the explanation is shomer ka'ona. I have a personal obligation to recite and to count Sfiras Omer. So if I'm listening to someone else say Sfir, is it ka'ona? Is it as if I'm saying Sfir or not? If you assume shomer is ka'ona mamish, so then I'm yotze by hearing your count. It's as if I'm counting as well. But if you assume shomer is not ka'ona, it's just I'm yotze shmiya, so that might work when I need to hear a mitzvah. But if I need to say a mitzvah to do an amira, that's not going to qualify. Like, what's an example of shemeya? The bracha, I need to hear Megillah. I don't need to say Megillah, I need to hear Megillah. So I'm yotze by the Baal Kari reading. I'm hearing it. But when I need to say something, I have a chiv to have an amira, so then it only works if you assume shemeya ka'ona. So I need to say Sfiras Omer. So it would only work if you assume shemeya ka'ona. Everyone with me so far? So there's an interesting din to discussion whether or not one could be yotze kriyashma to shomer ka'ona. So there's a ritva in Maseches Megillah, very beginning. He points out the difference of the way the Mishnah records the mitzvahs kriya Megillah versus kriyashma. It says by Megillah, it says the lashon Megillah nikres. Megillah is red. And it says by Shema, Korin, es Shema. So he focuses on the difference of the Yachid versus Rabban. Megillah is Nikres, it's read by a singular person. And Korin, es Shema, many people read it. So how come it's the singular for Megillah and it's Rabban for Shema? So he says, because Megillah, you're Yotze by one person reading. You could be Yotze Shema Ke'one by Megillah. But with respect to Shema, I'm not yotze by hearing you. Each person has to read on their own. Each person must read Shema separately. Korin as a Shema, we must all read. The Gra makes a similar diak. He says, within Maseches Brachos, it says, Mei Masai Korin as a Shema, in the plural, Rabim read Shema. But with respect to the Brach of Shema, it says, Bishachar Mivarich Shtaim, in the singular. So why is the Brach in the singular and the Korin be Rabim? So the Gra says, because for the bracha of Birchas Kriyas Shema, you can be yotze Shomer Ka'ona, but one cannot be yotze Shomer Ka'ona by Shema. You need to, each person needs to read separately. That's why Korin is a Shema. So we see that both the Ritva and the Gra felt that one can not be yotze Shomer Ka'ona by Shema. Each person must read Shema on their own. But there are other Rishonim, and the Magen Avraham brings a Machlokas Poskim, that say you can be yotze by hearing someone else's Shema. And again, the Pichadosh says this, and the simple understanding is what we've been saying, that whether or not Shomer Ka'ona, whether or not That's ke'onam amish, because we all have to say Shema. Is my hearing of Shema as if I'm saying it, and I could be yotzei by Shema ke'ona? Or no, do we say that it's only as if I'm hearing it, but it's not as if I'm saying it. So, great, I heard you say Shema. But the mitzvah isn't Shemiya Shema, the mitzvah is Koren Shema, to read it. And if you assume Shemeya is not ke'onam mamish, not like I'm actually saying it, I cannot be yotzei through Shema ke'ona. We're good? So now bring it back to our point. So one other nafkamina, which is what Emek Brach himself brings, is Machlokis Rashi Tosef. Whenever a person discusses this nafkamina, this chakira between Shemeya ke'ona, ke'ona mamish or not, they always point to the Rashi Tosef as Machlokis. What should a person do if they're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, and the Chazan is up to Kaddish or Kedusha, should you stop and listen and be mechavin to be yotzei, or should you not be mechavin to be yotzei? And the opinion of Rashi is that you could be mechavin to be yotzei Kedusha by hearing Kedusha, be yotzei to hear Kaddish, and it's not considered a hefsek. While Tosa says no, if you're mechavin to Kedusha, so when I hear the Chazan say Kadosh, 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 it's like I'm saying Kadosh, Kadosh in the middle of whatever brach I'm up to. I can't just stop in the middle of my Shemesh to say Kadosh unless I'm up to Atah Kadosh. I can't interrupt with Kedusha in the middle. So Tosas says you should not have Kavanah to be Yotzei the Mitzvah. Because Tosas felt that when a person's Mechavin of Shemek Ka'oneh, it's Ke'ilu, you're actually saying the words. But Rashi felt that's not Ke'ilu, you're saying the words. Rashi just says, you're Yotzei Shemiya, you're not Yotzei Ka'ona. And this is what Emek Bracha says, that the explanation for the Rosh is as follows. Why did the Rosh say, when the Ola says the Bracha, why can he just be Yotzei hearing the Chazan? It's because he does not hold of Shemiya Ka'ona. He holds, it's only like you're hearing, but it's not like you're saying the words. So I said a Bracha, but I didn't learn anything. I didn't have any Limud, I didn't have any Kriya. And therefore, the rush is the only way you avoid the bracha vatala is by saying words yourself. And let me ask you a trivia question. Outside of Kedusha, does anyone know when you are allowed to actually say the words along, when you're not up to what the Chazan's up to, you're in the middle of silent Shemoneh Esrei, and the Chazan's up to something else in davening, when are you allowed to say the words that the Chazan's saying? No, that's a good, I wonder actually, it's a good... That's Kadosh Kadosh. That's interesting. But that's you're up, only if you're up to Kedusha would it be relevant. But I don't think you say anyways. Yeah, Yosef. Modim, well, yeah, that's a great example. I wasn't thinking that, but that's a great example. When you're up to Modim, so you could say the Modim. That's a similar case, but I'm talking about somewhere else, a different part of davening outside of Shemoneh Esrei. But anyone know? Not Shema. You cannot interrupt for Shema.
Olenu?
No. So this is the answer. The answer is that Friday night davening, we know we say Vayechulu in Shemoneh Esrei, and the din is after Shemoneh Esrei, you say Vayechulu again with the Tzibur. So what happens if you are a slow davener, or maybe the Chazan's a fast davener, you're not in the same pace with the Chazan, with the Shul. So you're up to Vayechulu, and he's up to Vayechulu after Shemoneh Esrei. So now there's a din that the Gemara says in Shabbos, you're supposed to say Me'uman, standing up. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah says you should have two people saying it, because Eidus. So can you fulfill that Eidus? When you're saying Vayechulu in Shemoneh Esrei, can you say it along with their Shemoneh Esrei, their Vayechulu after davening? And the din is yes. When you're saying, if you're up to Vayechulu, you can have in mind to the Vayechulu of that they're up to, of after davening. And not only that, I forget who says which way, but the post can say, if I finish Vayechulu, let's say in my Shemoneh Esrei, I haven't said any further, and then they got up to Vayechulu, I could repeat Vayechulu again in my Shemoneh Esrei to be Yotzi that din of Vayechulu with the Chazan. And moreover, one step further, the Tzitz Eliezer says that you could even say when you're in Shemoneh Esrei, silent Shemoneh Esrei, you could say it B'kol Ram out loud with the rest of the Tzibur while you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, which is a fascinating din. So that's the one exception that I know of, that you can, you know, daven something else while in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. It's not really something else, but it's an interesting din, yeah. Exactly, you fulfill your obligation at that point. Now, like I made that din of saying it afterwards once we're on the topic. The Mishnah Berurah says one should seek another person to... We discussed it the other day, I think, right? We discussed this, yeah? We said it, yeah. Okay, yes, I can't keep track. I gave 10 shirim since then. I have no idea what I said. I'm sorry, guys. Okay, so let's go weiter then.
Right.
even after you finish Mekadesh Shabbos, you can. If you're in the middle of Maidim, you can still say Vayichulu.
No, if you're in the middle of Maidim, you can. Only when you're up to the word of Vayichulu, or you just completed that paragraph. But the moment you moved on from Vayichulu, then you can't say it anymore.
You know what's coming up? Is it Kedai to wait?
That's an interesting question. Is it Kedai to wait?
And how long is it?
Right, the Mishnah Berurah talks about the person should, he should daven fast to finish Mor Esrei, to catch Vayichulu at the end with the Tzibur. Chazon Ish felt that no one should be compelled to do that, because Chazon Ish didn't think you had to really say it with another person. So he thinks you should daven a regular Shemir Esrei. In this case, it's a kedai to adjust the timing. It might depend on the Mishnah Berurah and Chazon Ish. Mishnah Berurah felt it's important. Maybe you should. Maybe time it out right. But Chazon Ish didn't feel compelled that you should feel obligated to catch. So probably not for the Chazon Ish. Your question? Yeah.
Yeah. According to Rashi, what would be the if Shomea Keoneh is not on a mamash, then what's the point of stopping? Why would I stop?
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. The idea, I believe, what I recall, is there's a concept that you don't want to be doing something different than the Tzibur is doing. So there's a Gemara in Brachos around Chaf Al, Chaf Beis or so, that talks about a Balkeri, according to Rabbi Huda, who shouldn't be learning.
That's
exactly, yeah. So that just to share, the others who don't know or may not remember, so the din is that a Balkeri, according to one opinion, shouldn't be learning, shouldn't be davening, shouldn't say Shema, shouldn't bench. But at the same time, he should not be doing something different than the rest of the Tzibur. So he should at least be saying something or pretend to be saying something that he's along with the Tzibur. So I believe the din is he's just kind of stopped to be along with the Tzibur, even though he's not being Yotze, the particular Kedusha. Yes, Emmett.
Even the day that says that you're not, it's not Mamish Oneh, they still say that when you're Mechavi, it's still an need to be Mechavi without Mamish saying it, no?
I mean, if the need of Kedusha is to say the words of Kedusha, so then you would be Yotze in such a way. Be Yotze.
So Rashi's day is that when you're Mechavi, but you're not saying anything. Rashi says that it's not Mamish, right?
Rashi says it's not Mamish, exactly, and it's
so
not
there. When you stop it.
So you could be Yotze mitzvah. The Indian of Kedusha is to be Osek in the Kedusha, whether through Shmiya, whether Kriya, but you don't have to necessarily say Kadosh Kadosh. You could just hear. That's sufficient, and you've accomplished that by hearing it. But when certain things require you to say it. Then Shemek Ona couldn't work if you need to say it. So Kadosh doesn't need to be said, it needs to be a chalik, whether it's hearing. Saying is one way to accomplish it, hearing is another way to accomplish it. But according to the others who say you mamash need to say it, so if Shemek Ona can accomplish that, great. And if can't accomplish that, then you have to, you're not Yotze to the mitzvah. Okay. So now, the big question further on this Emek Bracha, that on this Pshat, is as follows. He says, I don't understand. How could you say that the Ola, the Aliyah, the Baaliyah is Yotze by simply whispering the words of the Torah? The Bracha was Mesakein on the Bracha B'tzibur. Everyone hears the Kriyas HaTorah, hear the laying of Matos. But for him to whisper, the Bracha was Dafko on a Tzibur Dekadin. And number two is, he asks, we have instances where a person, the Mishaleach, could say a bracha, and the shliach could do the ma'isa. So the example he gives is a bedikas chametz. So I could have a shliach check my house, I could say the bracha, I'm the mishalech, and have him do the ma'isa. So why can't I have the ola say the bracha, and the chazan be my shliach, and repeat the words for me? So why doesn't that work? And again, number two, the first question we said was, how is my reading belachash fulfilling the general mitzvah of betzibur? Betzibur is dafkum people here, b'kol ra. So the Emek Bracha is Mechadesh Adin, that the Bracha on Kriyas HaTorah, B'tzibur, is a Indian of Limud HaTorah. Limud HaTorah, we discussed the other day, that Limud HaTorah means that I need to learn. I can be Yotze by you learning, I need to learn. There's a concept of supporting learning, of, Yitzhak Zvulun, the relationship, there's an Indian of that. Zvulun doesn't get the kim of Limud HaTorah. He might be able to buy some of the schar of Yisachar if he's willing to give up that schar of Limud HaTorah, but you don't get Be'etzim Limud HaTorah. So unless I'm learning, the bracha doesn't work. So the bracha is on learning. I can't have you say bracha on me wearing tefillin. Whenever it comes to mitzvah beguf that he points out, I need to do the mitzvah, I need to do the bracha. Limud HaTorah is beguf, it's my mind. I can't say bracha for you to learn, I say bracha for me to learn. So he's Mechadish the Din, which I found to be very hard to understand, and I'll make my own suggestion maybe using his pshat. But he says that the bracha of Birchas HaTorah and Kriyas HaTorah, B'tzibur, was really simply a second bracha one should say, a bracha odapam bishas kriyas abetzibro fanel achra. They said two brachas, one bracha in the morning, and they wanted to make another bracha for the gage in Eliyah, dafka betzibur. Not on the limud haTorah betzibur, his own learning. So he says a bracha belachash, or a bracha out loud, he learns belachash, so he gets his mitzvah. And as to the limud haTorah, the kriyas haTorah, that's just a separate din. So there are two dinim. The Baal Kore is teaching the tzibur, kriyas haTorah betzibur. That's happening. And whoever is mechabe with the Aliyah, he gets to say a second bracha brichas haTorah for his learning. He goes up there and just whispers and learns by himself whatever is being taught. Which is very strange, I think. Say these two things are taking place, that they're like not even acknowledging each other. Baal Kore is learning, he's teaching Barabim, and the Ola is saying just a bracha for his own personal learning, but nothing to do with each other. So I want to make the following suggestion. We sometimes have brachos that have two functions, two roles. So we'll discuss later on in the Masechta, you know, if I want to be motzi you, I could be motzi you a birchas mitzvah. I could be yotzi a person to kia shofar, the bracha, and shofar the bracha, and megillah. Birchas mitzvah, you could be motzi someone else. A birchas nenin, I can't be motzi you a birchas nenin. I can't say shakal for you. You could say shakal for yourself, but I can't say shakal for you, birchas nenin. The only instance where you're allowed to be motzi birchas hanenin is where the birchas hanenin and birchas mitzvah come together. So the two examples the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says is when it comes to kiddush, where there's a birchas mitzvah of kiddush and also birchas hanenin. So I could be motzi with birchas mitzvah, and the meila the birchas hanenin works as well. And the suda of Shabbos as well. I don't think whether it's Shabbos or maybe Shabbos and Sukkot, but the hamotzi is on the mitzvah of eating. The Suda Shabbos, on Shabbos, it's also Birchas Hanenin. It serves two roles. No pun intended. So the idea is, you're motzi, the person, both the Birchas HaMitzvah and the Birchas Hanenin, when they come together. Another example. There's a discussion. We know that many mitzvahs, we do the mitzvah al-hakos. So we add a kos into the brachas, the havdalah. You don't really need the cut there, the kos. We have Eish and Besamim. Those are fundamental to havdalah. The bracha of Avdol itself. And we like to put mitzvahs and brachas ala kos, so we add hagafen. Under the chuppah, we do nesu'in and kedushin, respectively, on their ala kos. Sheh brachas ala kos. We don't need the kos, but it's there. So the bracha of hagafen is very unique, because sometimes it could serve as a birchas a mitzvah, and sometimes it's a birchas a nenin. So what happens under the chuppah? Let's put Yisrael Meir on the spot. He just got married recently, the most recent marriage, I think. So let's see if he remembers. So, Rav Weinberger was a Masada Kedushin there. He said the bracha ala gafen. Then he gave your father to give you to drink. And then he gave your mother-in-law to give your wife to drink. And did Rav Weinberger drink anything? He did not. Some briskers have the custom of purposely spilling the wine, shaking their hands a little bit, and then they'll like kind of lick it after they say the bracha. Because the hagafen is also birchas hanenin. You can't be motzi someone else to birchas hanenin. It's a big chumrah, but some briskers will be machmir on this din. It's based on a Rashi in Ervin that he talks about whether if you say a bracha of ala kos, whether you really have to drink it. If I make kiddush, let's say, if I make avdalah, do I have to drink it? It's not a birchas hanenin. It's part of the birchas mitzvahs. I could say a bracha and the chasen drink and the kala could drink. I could say avdalah for the family and someone else could drink. I could say kiddush and someone else could drink. It's not necessarily that it's a birchas hanenin. It might be just really a birchas mitzvah. But some hold, no, it's both together. It's both a birchas mitzvah plus a birchas nenin. So I think it's possible to suggest something similar here as well by the bracha birchas haTorah on kriyas haTorah b'tzibur. Birchas haTorah birabim during kriyas haTorah might have two elements. One is a personal birchas haTorah, my own personal learning, and the bracha on the kriyas haTorah b'tzibur. Now, be'etzim, I don't need to have a personal bracha birchas haTorah. I said it in the morning. Be'etzim, I don't need to say agafen on the cup under the chuppah. I don't want to drink at all. But once that's the nusach you're saying, some say if you're saying the hagafen for the birchas mitzvah, you also should drink it as well. So perhaps what the Rosh is saying is, yes, the birchas Torah is for the tzibur. It's for the kriyas haTorah b'tzibur. It's shomek, it's for the chazan to read. It's for the tzibur. But there's also that second element of it's also birchas Torah for my own personal learning. Now, I don't really need to. So I said in the morning, but once I'm saying the bracha, you can't ignore the fact that it's also a birchas haTorah. And for that element, just like those are machmir to drink that whatever spilled on their finger, maybe the Rosh is saying that you should whisper silently to fulfill the element of it being a berachas haTorah, which is a mitzvah beguf, which is belimud haTorah. That's the suggestion, I think, which might make a little more sense than the name of bracha, but who am I to say that? That's just a suggestion. Okay, let's just finish off just very quickly, and so hopefully everyone has that clear. Just halach lamaisa, what do we do? So I'm not sure if you had a chance to read the Beis Yosef or not. So it's a great Beis Yosef. It quotes the Zohar. Just funny how he quoted a shita from Maria Buav, who quoted some fandom Zohar, which he never had a chance to see, but he said, if that Zohar happens to be true, then we should hold like that Zohar. What does the Zohar say? So he quotes from the Parsha Vayakel, where the Zohar says that only one person should read, not two people. And the reason being, because it's compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving the Torah, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke. So we're trying to, every time this creates a Torah, we're trying to emulate and reenact Kabbalah Satara. That's why there's people standing up there, supposed to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe Beinu, and Aaron, different people up there, and the Bima, and Har Sinai. So we're trying to reenact. It's not because of a halacha of Bracha Latala or other concerns, but simply it's each time it's a new Kabbalah Satara, a new Har Sinai. Then he gets into a very interesting discussion. He says, really, we should pass like the Zohar, because as long as there's nothing mefurish in the Gemara against the Zohar trumps. There's a klal we have in Piskei Halacha that if there's a Zohar against Halacha, we discussed this the other day, maybe even yesterday, that there's a Halacha against the Zohar, Halacha trumps. But if there's no Halacha against it, it's just an open discussion, so then the Zohar wins. So the Rush is a requirement that the Baal Kor reads out loud, and the Ola whispers, that's not a Gemara anywhere, that's a Chiddush of the Rush. And the Zohar says Dafka differently, that only one person should be reading. And therefore, he says we should embrace the shita of the Zohar, and he should not have to read Balachash. And he says, moreover, it's very possible maybe Shomea Kona does work when the Ola says the Bracha and the Baal Kori reads, and the Ola should not have to whisper anything. But he ends up saying that it's maybe not a stira to the Zohar. The fact that the Rush says that the Ola should whisper Balachash does not go against the Zohar. Because maybe the Zohar is only when a person is speaking and reading Bedibur out loud, B'kol Ram, is that a violation? But if someone's whispering along with the Chazan, that's not a violation. The Zohar is when two people are saying it out loud. When the Baal Kori is out loud, and the Ola is whispering, that's not a stir per se. And he ends up concluding that what should happen is what the Rosh suggests, which is that the Chazan should be out loud, and the individual, the Ola, should be whispering it. So Halacha Lamaisa, just to read the last three pieces here and the three sources, that should get through the clarity in the Halacha, the Mechaber writes in Simen Kuf Mem Aleph, that Lo Yikari Shnayim, two people should not read, El Ha'ola Kore, V'Shleach Tibur Shosek, O Shleach Tibur Kore, V'Ha'ola Lo Yikari B'Kol Ram, he should not read out loud, U'Mikol Makom, he adds, Tzarech Hu Likros Im HaShleach Tibur, he should still read it, Kadesh Lote Birchas Levatala, it should not be Birchas Levatala like the Rush, Ela Shetzarech Likros Benachas, softly, Shelo Yashmiya Lazana. He shouldn't be able to hear himself, but she in a very, very soft whisper. Vafilu Mashmiya Laznav Leklamechash. And even if the guy has an audible type of speech, that's not the worst thing in the world. Dilo Adif Mitfila Kedil El, it's no worse than Tfila. What does it mean it's no worse than Tfila? So there's another Zohar by Tefillah, a person should daven quietly. Belachash, you should not be audible when you're davening. So the Graz says he felt maybe davening out loud, or at least so you could hear it, is a good thing. You hear the words, Baruch Atah Hashem, as opposed to just like, that doesn't do things for people. To be able to hear your own words should be helpful for Tefillah. So the Graz there says, when the Zohar writes that you should be belachash, doesn't mean silence. It just means that no one else should be able to hear you. That's a lachash, but you should be able to hear yourself. And here as well, it's not a steer. The fact that if you could hear yourself, just don't interrupt, don't distract the Baal Kore, but for you to hear it is not such a, that's not considered audible. And just read the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah writes that number six, wrote Salomer Af de Yoser Tov Shelo Lashmir La'oznav. Granted, you should not be able to hear yourself. No one should hear. That's the best practice. Mikomakom in Mashmir, if the person's whisper is audible, Lekal Meichash, it's not of concern. The lo adif mitrila shetiknu gam kein balachash. It was no different than tefillah, which was also instituted to be in silence. However, afil hachi mashmil oznav, one can still make it audible. And the Shaar Tzion quotes some of the Maamar Kamus. Okay, so we'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue. We're going to learn tomorrow about the next sugya, which talks about chas rachmana. Torah chas rachmana al mamon shel Yisrael. That the Klai HaKadosh Baruch Hu was concerned with people using or wasting money. It should be used in the proper way. So we'll discuss it, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow. Pleasure.
Thank you.
My pleasure, guys.